Hello. I'm sure you've noticed, but for more than a year, we've been dealing with a pandemic. Several lockdowns and months of social distancing have taken their toll on our mental health. With the loss of physical support systems, the absence of defined structures and routines, the seemingly endless repetition of negative news, the doom scrolling. It can feel isolating. It can feel scary. Today, we want to talk about some of the ways that we're managing. We want to talk about some of the things that help us get through the day, some of the apps and platforms that help us at the end of the day. We also want to talk about the ways in which we try to step away from digital altogether. In a nutshell, we want to talk about digital and self-care and offer some advice based on our own experiences. We hope it helps to make everything a little bit easier. As ever, the podcast is recorded from our respective homes, so apologies for any noise in the background or issues with sound quality or connectivity. The guests on today's podcast are all charity digital employees. We have Sasha Dabalia, marketing intern, Elizabeth Carter, e-coms manager, and Chris Hall, marketing manager. My first question is pretty general. What are some of the basic steps you've taken over the past year to support your mental health?
Well, I'd firstly just like to start off by saying I think it's really nice that we've got quite a diverse group among us. Obviously, I'm kind of an intern, sort of starting off in the work life, and I'm also living at home, so that sort of offers a few issues. Chris, you're living with your partner in London, you're managing a team, and obviously, Elizabeth, you're a mother, so that's kind of involves a lot of responsibilities that Chris and myself probably wouldn't understand. So it's really nice to sort of be able to hear your perspectives on it as well. I think for me, I've gone through a bit of a strange year because I was employed at the beginning when we first went into lockdown. Then I kind of was out of work for 5 months and now sort of starting again. So I've had to sort of check in with my mental health quite a few times, like for different reasons, really. And I think at the beginning, a lot of us just wanted to maintain a bit of social connection with everyone else. It was such like a strange time. It almost feels like I'm quite used to it now, but at the beginning it was like, yeah, let's try and carry on having some beers even if it is over Zoom. I think for some of my friends, we felt it, Zoom sometimes felt a bit too professional to be sort of socializing on. So that's why there was that house party app that some of us sort of tried to use as a bit more of a sort of fun thing to do. Unfortunately, that didn't really last a very long time. I know that my friends kind of were a bit concerned about some safety sort of problems, a bit of, you know, data being stolen there. I did have a look into it and I mean, it's still a bit inconclusive as to whether there was actually an issue there or not. I mean, apparently there's no proof, but I do remember my friend saying that she had some dodgy kind of email sign-ins after sort of downloading the app. And then she saw all over Twitter that other people were kind of going through similar issues as well. So I think after that, everyone sort of just went back to Zoom quizzes, to be honest. But I think the thing that sort of mainly stood out for me in terms of trying to, you know, ensure that I was having some good self-care was throughout those 5 months of being out of work. Trying to sort of apply for jobs every day is pretty brutal. A lot of my friends were trying to do it like a job, like 9 to 5 applying for jobs. I just could not do that. I needed more of a structure to my day, essentially kind of more diversity. And the way I did that was pretty much just exercising, doing job applications, but also having a bit of meditation, having a bit of creative time as well. So sort of just allowing myself to sort of not be bogged down by one particular thing. And I mean, there's tons of apps as well that have helped me do that. Don't know if anyone else has used the Couch to 5K app. I mean, that saved my life. I used to hate running and now I absolutely love it. So I think, those are definitely some sort of things that I've tried to sort of implement. Even now I'm working, I'm trying to sort of use some of those things to maintain myself, self-care, mental health, yeah.
I think I went the other way. I went 5K to couch.
I was going to say, it sounds a bit tough, that, Sasha, really.
I had time to do it, so you know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. No, that's
like, I think like the house party app as well at the same time. I've joked about this with you all before, but we used that right in the beginning. We used to call it the pub. So we actually, like, at the very beginning, we used to pretend like sort of nothing had changed. You fancy going to the pub tonight? Yeah, I'm in the pub, come on, join in. And like my group of friends, family, whatnot, used to just jump in and have a pint. So we tried not to change it too drastically in the beginning. But then the flurry of Zoom quizzes took over, and then it did eventually sort of peter out. I think if nobody sees a Zoom quiz again for a while, I think we'll all be better people, or slightly happier people, that is, anyways. But for me, in terms of sort of the basic steps I do when looking at mental health, it really falls twofold. And that's sort of the personal side of things, and then, you know, managing a team as well and making sure they're all right. From a personal point of view, it's been difficult. I haven't been as good as I probably once was at sort of looking after myself. And I think that comes with a mixture of the working from home environment, and, you know, there's nothing else to do but work. And, you know, I love what we do and what I do. So I kind of engross myself into it, specifically sort of pre-Christmas. I'm also a pretty hefty anxiety sufferer as well, so it was really difficult in the beginning. But things like the help that's available through, you know, what we offer at Charity Digital, as well as the likes of Talk Wandsworth, who I use, they were really good in terms of helping me get to grips with, dare I say, the new normal term that's banded around ever so much. But the ultimate way I really found my sort of feet and how to deal with, you know, the 18 hours a day I spend in my bedroom, is it was actually through gaming. And I wasn't a big gamer, and I've mentioned this on previous podcasts, but gaming really, really helped my mental health. And even to the point that my partner didn't quite understand at the beginning, as Sasha said, we live on top of each other and have done for the best part of a year now. It was kind of like, you're always gaming, but that was my releases, the same as hers was going for a walk or reading a book. I found my way to sort of engross myself in other worlds to forget about kind of the what was going on and the one that we're all in. And I think that speaks dividends for the rest of the sector. So obviously gaming's being used in charity for fundraising, but I think it's took on a completely new mantle as a service as well. So, you know, we've spoke to Women's Win, for example, who are using gaming as an esports service that to help people deal with issues like mental health abuse and all that sort of thing. So that's been a really big thing for me. And I think it comes in many forms. So it could be board games as well. I've done a lot of board games. So it doesn't necessarily have to be online games. You know, I've played more Scrabble than I've ever done in my whole entire life in the last and I'm still rubbish at it. But it's one of those things that it's all about finding the thing that works for you. And if that takes time, that's all right as well. And it's all right to not be all right, and all those cliche sayings, but take your time to really appreciate what it is that works for you as a person. And that's kind of the key thing. On the other side of the coin for me, you know, what has been really important for me is to make sure, you know, my teammates and team, like people on my team, feel like they have a space to vent and sort of express their concerns, express their anxieties and talk them through. And that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be with me. You know, we preach peer accountability in our team, and it's all about keeping each other on top, like on point when it comes to work, and also when it comes to needing help and support, where, you know, I feel blessed and lucky to have quite a close team around me. So we have been a really good support network for each other, and that doesn't go up or down the sort of chain of command. It kind of works in and around us. So creating those spaces, I think, has allowed us to not only survive as a team and as an organization, but thrive a little bit as well. And we've been able to have quite a good year. And we focus quite a lot on our culture as a wider organization. You know, these virtual away days, we had a very much talked about culture and how we can become closer as a unit by being further away than we've ever been before. So specifically in the last few months, we'd realised we're growing further apart, and we're diving into socials a lot more. I think we've had two socials already and got another one planned since Christmas came around. So I think that has been another way to kind of diversify what we do and how we can stay connected, essentially. And it's just a bit of creativity, but lots of communication more than anything else. I think the communication stops you, you're always at a bit of a loss. But I think that's worked really, really well for us, having those safe spaces and the ability to be able to talk to people. Liz, I'll let you chat now, because you've got you know, hats off to you and then all the other parents out there who, yeah, who are dealing with everything that we're dealing with and extra. So I want to give you more time.
Yeah, it's really challenging. And I can sort of really echo what you're saying, Chris, although I really don't suffer from anxiety and I've never suffered from it really in my life until last year, when we all suddenly went into lockdown. And I'm based in Madrid, so it was really hard for us because it was literally 2 months without leaving the house. So I can, you know, sort of really, it, for me, what Chris said about open communication in the office, you know, everyone working from home, and we embraced it right from the beginning. I mean, it was like, you know, okay, we're going to go on a Zoom, we're going to have these weekly chats, we need these catch-ups. And that for me was a lifesaver, really, for my mental health, because my mental health it depends on my girls. If they're okay, I'm okay. So really they were suffering quite a lot with schooling and everything. And work was obviously, and it still is, and it always will be, an essential part of my life. So just to be able to catch up with colleagues over Zoom was just, for me, my lifesaver, you know. And routine has been a key for me, especially handling the girls, all of their schooling and all of my work schedules. And I have to have a routine. So that was just essential, that they knew exactly from the moment that they woke up exactly what they were doing and what I was doing. And also last year especially, it's sort of petered out now, but last year my girls absolutely loved using all of the apps that were available. So they were on TikTok every day. They were doing their dance routines. They were creating their gymnastic how to do teach you sort of, you know, back tucks and back flips and everything. And they had quite a good followers. And then some of the videos were taken down, which they're really, really disappointed about. I don't know why they didn't give any sort of any indication why. So that sort of petered out. And then we really got into workouts. And I had to have for myself as a way of sort of releasing all of my pressure, a daily workout. And I know that, Sasha, you do sort of lots of meditation and stuff and you do apps on that. Yeah. I'm not able to clear my mind or keep still. So neither am I able to go for like runs because I've got a dodgy knee. So for me, I use the sort of workout for women apps, and you can manage those depending on the minutes that you want to do. So I, one day I was on stretching on then thighs and then waist or whatever like that. So that was good for me. And also your, you know, what everyone has been using and using on a daily basis is WhatsApp videos. And that's how I kept in contact with my family. And that was a real release because I didn't have anyone to talk to. And Zooms were essential as well, especially family being so far away, friends being so far away. And also I learned new skills. I was really, really proud of myself. I actually created loads of corking, you know, so the art and craft things, and I was reading loads, and I got into bird watching and actually downloaded all the apps of the plant names. And so, yeah, it was a life changer for me. It really was. But I think what I've learned over all of this is that we have embraced the new changes. And I, like Chris said, I don't really like to use the term the new norm, but it is for everybody. And we've all learned from each other, and the communication at work has really helped me, and it's been great. And we've still got this open communication there. For me, routines has been essential. And also lots of charities have been offering sort of free workshops and dance and ballet and stuff like that, which I've actually participated in, and that's been good. So yeah, I haven't actually done anything with house party or the pub, as Chris would like to call it. I think I've been far too busy with everything else, but it would have been something I probably would have embraced if I hadn't had two kids to deal with. So yeah.
Well, thanks everyone. Moving on, I'd just like to be a bit more specific if we can and talk about the digital tools that have made your life a little bit easier over the past year. So precise apps and sort of the software or anything you've used in terms of both work life and outside of work, just anything that streamlined and made your life easier.
Well, I mean, definitely what I've mentioned, Zoom has been an absolute and utter lifesaver for me. I couldn't have coped without it. And I think we can all say that. Teams for work, another lifesaver. And then we're talking about our other ones, that your Instagram and your TikToks and your WhatsApp and everything else like that. But maybe some more specific ones, Sasha, have you found that have been good for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, especially over when I kind of wasn't working, I had to sort of be a bit careful about what apps I was using. I mean the thing that got me was kind of, you know, not having premium Spotify. That was a sad moment. But I mean, you do sort of look into those things. But what really helped me was actually just things like YouTube, really. YouTube is just such, it has so many great resources for people to use, whether that's learning a new instrument, workouts. I mean, I'm quite lucky. My mum's a Pilates instructor, so I don't usually have to use YouTube for things like that. But I know a lot of friends do. And again, free, and you could just browse through lots of different tutors and find one who kind of fits your sort of vibe, I guess. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear my dog.
Hey, that's great. That's another way that you've kept your sanity, having pets, Sasha, in the background.
Having pets, yeah.
Same YouTube videos, yeah, Sasha.
Yeah, and also using YouTube for meditation actually was something that I found really useful. I know that. Sorry, my dog's so funny. I know that. I know that people use Headspace and other sort of Calm's also one, isn't it, for meditation. But I found some great tutorials, well, I suppose guided meditations on YouTube as well. And again, sort of just you can flick through. Oh, no, that one's not really for me. That one is for me. Yeah, those sort of things are really great. And another thing, I mean, you mentioned WhatsApp video. For me, it's been WhatsApp voice messages, voice notes. I find that so useful because I think sometimes I just sort of want to get away from looking at a screen, but I still want to have some communication with people. And I think voice messages are really great because you can sort of just blabber on for as long as you like. Then you can listen back to their voice message at any time you want, and just sort of, I don't know, maybe walk around, sort of look around at anything that isn't a screen whilst listening to your friends, sort of catching you up on their life. And for me, that's been really helpful as a tool to sort of communicate whilst also not feeling like I'm having to do it all like on Zoom or on a screen. So yeah, those are the things that have definitely helped me recently.
Yeah, I would really echo the YouTube. Oh, I have spent hours watching cookery, you know, YouTubes and tutorials and everything. I have learned so much in these last 12 months. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's an abundance of stuff out there. I think after our conversation yesterday, I gave Calm another go and actually managed to fall asleep to the dulcet tones of Matthew McConaughey. So maybe there's more on that for me because I do struggle with the meditation and sort of switching off side of it. For me, I've probably been more generic in a lot of ways from a personal point of view. I mean, podcasts, I've delved much into much deeper into the world of podcasts when I've been out on the rare walks or runs. You know, it's been podcasts I've been listening to, or audiobooks, so Audible through Amazon, being able to download. I've read some weird and wonderful books from, like, sort of, you know, Stephen King's latest anthology. I think I'm listening, what have I got going? The Iliad by Homer at the minute, which is a bit random. Obviously a bit of a classic, but I'm going for that. Love myself a bit of Greek mythology. So it's that sort of stuff. The streaming apps have obviously been really helpful. Granted, it keeps us on the couch, but to be able to switch off with a bit of nonsense telly's also been great, and the choice has been really good as well. More coming to the free, while it all costs money, granted. You know, you've never been shy for a good TV series, from Tiger King to Schitt's Creek to, you know, all of the ones in between. And obviously, as a football fanatic, I've been able to watch football just about every day of the week, which has been great for me as well. A bit more of a darker tone that these, you know, is it really locked down without Zoom or Teams or anything like that? Or these, you know, I use Teams more than I use WhatsApp these days, and the likes of Zoom and WhatsApp video, Facebook Messenger allows us to stay connected. Like you, Liz, my family live abroad. So being able to contact them and sit and have a pint on Zoom was great. Being able to say goodbye to my Nana as well, who sadly passed away in May last year, I wouldn't have been able to do that without the likes of, I think it was Facebook video we used for that, where, you know, that all the family could get on and be with her while she was in Marie Curie. So stuff like that even has been really, really helpful in a time that otherwise, you know, without that digital tech, we wouldn't have had that moment, which is, you know, special to all of us. Yeah. From more of a professional point of view, I mean, Zoom helps. There's an argument to say that it doesn't at the same time. I think we all suffer from Zoom fatigue. You know, specifically, you know, if people are on it for long periods of day, I know I get a headache at about 2-3 o'clock every day after having sort of my 4-6 hours of meetings. Mm-hmm. But it surely is helpful. It does keep us connected, as we talked about before, the likes of the to have that level of communication with each other and to be able to have those away days. You know, Zoom, we couldn't do that without the likes of Zoom, Teams, and all the other ones that are out there, Chime and the rest. But I think the caveat to that is it's important to limit it and it's important to switch off. And I think that goes back to the answers to the first question, is that while this stuff is incredibly helpful and allows us to stay connected, we've got to find ways of disconnecting at the same time, or detoxing, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, and I think you have to be quite strict with that as well, Chris, don't you? Because I like you, I mean, I don't have quite as many Zoom meetings as you do, but I do with my clients and for training and everything. And I've really felt exhausted at the end of the day. And I've had really bad headaches as well. I feel that my sight is, you know, getting worse. And I sort of had to be really strict. So I decided that sort of pre-Christmas time, which is about November, and that my rule would be absolutely no laptop, nothing on a Saturday, apart from talking to my parents, probably on WhatsApp or anything. And then and that runs through until Sunday early evening, and then I'll probably just open it up. But wow. I had to be quite strict with that. And also I dragged my girls into it as well, which I weren't too pleased about. But you do have to have, you know, sort of ground rules for children as well, especially with screen time. For adults and children, you know, yeah. You have to have that detox. You have to have that break.
You do. 100%. And Christmas, you mentioned sort of just around Christmas. Christmas was a game changer for me. I think By necessity, I'd found myself in this world where I was quite comfortable sitting 7-8 hours a day just on Zoom and call after call, catch up after catch up. But a lot like yourself, I took an extra long time off over Christmas, 3 weeks, and I turned all the notifications off on my phone. And that made me realise, like, I really needed to do that disconnect from work. And it was one of the hardest things I've had to do, switching them all back on when I got back. But since then, I've done the same, you know, I've limited time where possible, but made sure I take the time to switch off. So whether it's, you know, 6 o'clock at night, I log off and I go and do something else, whether, you know, something that can calm me down and sort of help me de-stress from the day, whether it's gaming, whether it's doing a board game, whether it's watching the footy, it's that sort of thing. But it is the detox that's so important, and that, you know, that gave me a lot of perspective over Christmas, a lot like sort of what you're saying.
Yeah, no, definitely. In fact, we're actually considering having a dog and listening to Sasha talk about hers and everything. I think it'd be such a good excuse to do more detoxing and just to get out on those daily walks.
Exactly. And to insight into a bit more of my private life, like it's forcing us as a, you know, my partner and I to move house. We're moving out of London as well, yes. To be kind of in the sticks a little bit and have that green space, be able to walk, have a garden and being able to do that, get a dog, all those little things that help with the sanity a little bit. Thankfully, we're lucky enough to be able to do that. And I totally understand not everybody is, but it's doing the things that just feel right for you and that you need to do to keep yourself sane, basically, and safe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a rule as well at dinner time, absolutely no screens. Yeah. No TV, no screens, no nothing. We just talk. And then we watch films only on a Saturday. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit too strict. Would you say I don't know?
I think that, yeah.
But I think it is to preserve our sanity, you know, through all of this.
I think that was my last question, really. No, but if anyone has any other rules, I mean, there's rules like at the dinner time is quite a common one. You know, people put their phones down, no screens on the table sort of thing. Does anyone have any other rules that just quick advice really that might be helpful for listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, it's probably sort of been said before, but after finishing work, yeah, I do try and have at least half an hour where I just don't look at a screen. I think it's also just part of, I mean, what I'm doing at the moment is I'm training also to be a crisis support worker. So I'm in the evenings after finishing work, I have to sort of do my training as well. So I'm also in the process whilst, you know, doing my normal 9-to-5 work, trying to sort of retain information about the company, about the role. So there's a lot at the moment that I'm trying to just kind of take in. So having that time after I finish work and before I start my sort of training for being crisis support worker, I just really try not to, you know, bombard my brain with more information. I think it's probably something that a lot of people do sort of struggle with. We're constantly exposed to so much information. So being able to just sort of take time away, yeah, walk the dog around the block, I suppose, or, you know, just having, yeah, an evening meditation where actually sometimes I won't listen to anything. I will just try and sort of sit and be still. Sometimes it doesn't work, but, you know, at least I try. So I think that's definitely a rule that I'm trying to sort of implement, just so that I'm not sort of being overloaded with information, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've covered most of my sort of rules and kind of tidbits and things that I do. I think the sort of part and advice, you know, if I could give any, is just find something for you. Everybody's different. You know, when we talked in the briefing about this, I'm not one for meditation. I'm far too agitated for stuff like that. And I get distracted. You know, I tried it once, and granted it was only once. And I know you meant, I did get 3 options, and I halfway through, I was like, oh, I should have took option 2, not option 1. But I kind of, I haven't got the attention span for that stuff, but I find other things. And I think that's what it's important to remember, that, you know, we're all unique in this scenario, and the way we switch off is unique to us, and people are starting to be a lot more understanding for that. So take that time to understand you, whether you live with, you know, alone, whether you live with partners, whether you live with big families. I think that's important to create and keep your own space.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's funny because one of my rules is when I'm on a Zoom, the kids aren't allowed in the room. That's just to keep my sanity. But yeah, apart from detoxing, I would sort of, I'm like Chris, I can't meditate. Sorry, Sasha, I just can't do it. I can't, honestly. I would love to. But I sort of do sit down and I listen to podcasts, I listen to things and I close my eyes. And that's my way of blanking everything out, just resting my vision, my eyesight, and just sort of listening to something that might possibly edify me. Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. Thanks very much. And thanks to our audience for listening. We hope you find something useful in our discussion. There are plenty of articles on the Charity Digital site covering mental health and elements of self-care. We'll pop some of them in the resources section, so please take a look. We'll also pop in a few other resources the team have found useful over the years. Thank you and goodbye from us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.